Hi, my name is Bernie Burns, and I was with TSDV from the years of 1993 to 1996 when I graduated from the University of Texas with a degree in computer science. Well, back when I discovered TSDV, I was a pre-med student who was transferring over to computer science because the internet was just getting big and not much transferred with it. And so I ended up taking things like organic chemistry as an elective when it was all said and done. I had a lot of spare time because I had to take only computer science courses that were left to graduate. So I always had an interest in film, and I went and audited a few RTF classes. I thought, well, I'm not really gonna get what I need out of this. I'm not gonna get my hands on any equipment. So I just wandered down to TSDV, which at the time was in the basement of Hogg Auditorium. And within about 2 or 3 days, I was trained up on using the editors, the AB roll, and was producing my own content. It was around the same time that Robert Rodriguez was making El Mariachi. So there was this idea that you could just pick up a camera, have a good idea, and set the world on fire, right? But I didn't feel that way when I went and just sat into, you know, an RTF 305 class with, you know, 600 other people. But TSDV, it was feeling, here's people who are taking time out of their life to come down and actually produce things. And so it was a really cool environment. And so, yeah, I loved it. Never graduated with a film degree, never really studied film in any official capacity. Just found people who had a passion and immediately started making projects with them. So I started Sneak Peek back in, I think, 93, maybe 94. And I started it because it had one very simple goal, and that was I wanted to go see movies for free. And that was the idea behind it. And so I got together a couple of my friends, and we went and saw some movies and just set up some chairs and started making Sneak Peek. I'm particularly proud of the fact that if you go in the TSDV studio, there's that faux brick wall. I bought that from my budget in Sneak Peek. I think my budget was $80 in the first season. And now Sneak Peek, after I left, I didn't know this. They got in contact with me a few later that it just kept going. I passed it off to Tony Salinas. He produced it for a few years. He passed it off to somebody else. And before you know it, now it's the longest running student produced show in the world. And that's pretty amazing. It's what's the crazy thing about it too is that after making that and then graduating, a few years later, I started Rooster Teeth Productions. We started making Red vs. Blue. Red vs. Blue is now the longest running web series in the history of the internet. So I have a good track record so far with just unbelievable longevity. There are people that I met at TSDV that I still work with to this day. And in fact, some of the newer people that we've hired, I've hired that have come out of TSDV just because I know what the environment is like. I know they're gonna be go-getters, they're gonna be self-motivated. But essentially, when I first started at TSDV, I was just looking for anybody who would kind of take on somebody who had a lot of enthusiasm and wanted to learn about movie making, but didn't know anything. And so I met my partner down there, my business partner, Matt Hullum. He was a couple years behind me, but he was a film student, and he really wanted to make a movie. I wanted to make a movie just to learn about the process of filmmaking. And so we got together, and we made a 16-millimeter feature-length film over the course of about 13 months while we were down there. And we screened at Adobe, sent it around to festivals and everything like that. I still work with Matt to this day. I met him in the basement of Hogg Auditorium. Our lead actor that we had in that film, Joel Heyman, still work with him to this day. He's our most popular character in Red vs. Blue. And then more recently, hired Brandon Farmahini, Marshall Rimmer, Chris Damaris. Those are all guys that we met through TSDV. So after we finished the movie that we filmed at TSDV, which was called The Schedule, we entered the environment of independent filmmaking that existed back in the late 90s, which was you just got your film, you sent it out to as many film festivals as possible, and you basically went through the process of trying to convince people to let you show your work to other people. I mean, it's so strange to talk about it today. And we did that for a year. We did that for about as long as it took to make the movie. We were just trying to get it out there and get it into theaters where people could see it, whether it was film festivals or just, you know, a wider release. Then one day, I was just goofing around with some buddies at a tech job that I had, and we filmed a dopey Apple TV parody ad, where it was one of those old switch ads where a guy switches to Mac and he's all happy about it. Well, this guy switched to Mac for the games, and he was, you know, really upset about it. Just a funny little stupid video you make for the internet. But once I put the video online, Matt was working in LA at the time. He found the video within 24 hours, and he wasn't looking for it. Just he walked into somebody's office, and he saw his friend up on the screen. He's like, how do you know these guys? And his coworker was like, I don't. I just had found this funny video online. So Matt called me, and he said, wow, this video got to me in less than 24 hours. And I was like, yeah, I didn't have time to call you and tell you that I made this thing or tell you to look for it. And that was kind of a moment where we realized that all those barriers that we previously had experienced were just evaporating. And we thought, well, this is a unique point in history. We got to take advantage of it. And so it was probably 6 months after that that I started Red vs. Blue, started putting it online. It was like a light bulb moment. We realized that we can put something out there now because of the internet. All these things that we were going through before to try to get distribution, we didn't need that. It just had distribution. There was this worldwide network that we just had full access to, just like anybody else. And so we realized that was a pretty unique point in history, and we should try to take advantage of it. So 6 months later, I made Red vs. Blue, put the first episodes online, and it paid off immediately. I mean, we had probably 3,000 people watch the first episode. Then that went around all over the place. By the time we put up the second episode, we had about 250,000 people show up to watch it. By the end of the month, we were at 1 million people a week watching the show. So it was a completely different world than what we were used to. And it was instantaneous. I would say it was like the growth of Red vs. Blue was like falling up a cliff, is essentially what it felt like. And then we had to figure out all these things. This was before YouTube. So we had to figure out all these things, like, how do we get this video out to people to watch it? We were running into a different problem now of like, here's people who want to watch it. Now how do we service that? And so that became one of the early challenges of Rooster Teeth. So besides Red vs. Blue, we also produce Archie Shorts, which are a collection of funny skits that we do, just kind of random off-the-cuff, non-sequitur shorts that we do. We just started a new series called Past Cast, which is if historical figures had the ability to vlog the way that YouTube stars do today. And we just finished a show called Immersion, where we test video game concepts in real life. That's a ton of fun. And then one of our major productions is a show called Achievement Hunter, which is just a focus on video game culture in general, playing games, you know, having fun in games, but, you know, kind of a subversive take on the culture of video games. I should also mention we have the Rooster Teeth podcast as well, which is now the number one video game podcast on iTunes. I think one of the funniest experiences about working at TSDV is probably all the people that I knew in college who were just these kind of crazy characters down at TSDV, all the things that they've gone on to do. And I won't name any names, but it's really interesting when you come across even like an academic situation. It's like these guys who, you know, you were up till 3 a.m. with, you know, producing some crazy thing to go on, you know, cable access, you know, also at 3 a.m. But probably one of my favorite experiences from TSDV was I was there when we got the broadcast license. And that's when we went from being a cable access channel that was sharing time with everything else to being a full-fledged broadcast entity. That was a very big deal. And a cool part about that was we actually got to go up on top of the tower and hang that antenna. So that was a ton of fun. And it was interesting at the time to be able to go into the tower when it was all closed down and not just go into the observation deck, but climb up through the belfry and get on the actual top of the tower. My favorite episode of Sneak Peek that I worked on was one where we got to interview Adam Sandler. And it was a little bit of a risk in the interview because I thought, this guy's a comedian. We never had anything like this before. He's a huge star. He'd just come off Saturday Night Live. And I thought, I might just mess with him a little bit and see what happens. And so I started to poke at him a little bit. And at first, he took it in stride. But then he really got it, you know, that we were kind of messing around a little bit. And then he came after me big time. And it was like, I was way out of my league, obviously, you know, when it comes to improv comedy. But he was fantastic. And that was probably, but not just for moments at TSDV, one of the best moments of my career was just riffing with Adam Sandler, you know. And I'm in a basement of my college TV station. It was great. Looking back at TSDV, I can honestly say that as somebody who owns a production house, that I work in film every day, and I'd like to think that I'm very successful at it, I would not have been able to do that if not for TSDV, because I was not a film student, I didn't have any background in production, everything that I know today in terms of production, I started at TSDB. And if that resource had not existed, I honestly don't know what I'd be doing today. But I wouldn't be doing this.